did not know about Jesus and his love. Well, I heard about him, but I never felt him. The man that comes from above. You see, my life of sin, I could no longer stand. I asked my mother, where do I get to know this man? Said, you must be, can't you see? You got to be born again. Let me tell you, you must have that fire and Holy Ghost. That prayer wheel turning. Keep that fire burning. That kind of experience you can feel. Makes you move, makes you shout, makes you cry, 'cause it's real. Keep your hand in the Master's hand till your soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. Filled within, free from sin, you got to be born again. So many trials and dangers that my Lord has brought me through. Jesus opened blinded eyes and made the lame to walk. There ain't nothing my Lord cannot do. So now's the time that we must seek Him. Let Him fill your soul within. He'll make you whole, fill your soul. You got to be born again. Let me tell you, you must have that fire and Holy Ghost. That prayer wheel turning. Keep that fire burning. That kind of experience you can feel. Makes you move, makes you shout, makes you cry, 'cause it's real. Keep your hand in the Master's hand till your soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. Filled with Him, free from sin, you got to be born again. Let me tell you, you must have that fire and Holy Ghost. That prayer wheel turning. Keep that fire burning. That kind of experience you can feel. Makes you move, makes you shout, makes you cry, 'cause it's real. Keep your head in the Master's hand till your soul's been anchored in Jesus' name. Filled with sin, free from sin, you got to be born again. Filled with sin, free from sin, you got to be born. Filled with sin, free from sin, you got to be born.
Because every time I start to get up and come out, and then you look at me and I have to sit back down normally. That's why we stand up, not the beginning. It doesn't matter. Hey, it's good to see you back. I didn't know who was going to show up today because we had ice and snow. We had flu. I was in Charlotte 1 week. I mean, we had, this is, I think we only met once or twice in the last 7 weeks. But it's good to see you in church, really. So, amen, huh? You're glad to be in church? Okay, and I know some of you came in here and you're looking at this and go, what happened to the carpet? We say we have new carpet. We got some new carpet. Well, we're having issues. Pray for the carpet, okay? We have issues with the carpet itself. We have issues with some of the other components, some pilot air. And now Lowe's is taking it over, and it's under advisement, and inspectors have been in here, and we're going to have to figure it out now. Pray, because we open the show a week from this next Friday. And I told the lady on the phone on this last Friday, talking to her from Lowe's, we have church on Sunday. She got quiet. I said, what am I supposed to tell the people? They've all been excitedly waiting for new carpet. And it ain't there. It's all pulled up and everything. So she said, we'll make it right. We'll make it right. So just pray that they'll make it right. Okay? And that, just pray for that. Yesterday, my buddy Lynn, whom I got to see this last week, spent a little time with down at the nursing facility. We tried to run a marathon or something. Fell. Broke his hip. So he's in 408 Cox. They're going to do some surgery or something. They're going to try to figure out what they can do with him. So let's pray for Lynn that God will just bless him. But anyway, we're here. We're going to fellowship. We're going to have a wonderful time. Amen? Amen? Oh, you Baptists, come on. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and share together and encourage one another. And I pray, Lord, that as we come, that we will praise your name, that we will glorify you. And, Lord, whatever said and done will lift you up. And, Lord, that as we fellowship together, we will jointly participate. That's what fellowship means, jointly participate together. And, Lord, that we will become active in this participation. So I thank you for what we're going to do today. Bless us, encourage us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Now, before you sit down, shake someone's hand and say, God bless you, okay? Okay, that's good enough. Don't want to get too friendly. You might end up down at the Golden Corral for lunch today. They're having a potluck. You know that for the Baptists. Okay, that's getting old. We have, by the way, my good buddy Corey Combo is running our service today. He's my technical director, the best technical director in town. Corey Martin has to be away this week with his family. And I just heard through the grapevine that Corey Martin came down with the flu. He's supposed to drive back tomorrow. Pray for them that they get home and everything's okay. But it's good to have the best technical director in town, his beautiful wife Ellie here. And I give Combo, it's like a family around here. I give him a hard time all the time, but I love you, Combo. And he does a great job. He's been working, tearing all these lights out and everything. And he's been wringing his hands too, because then we have to put the lights down on the floor before we're legal, before we can open really the show. There has to be floor lights in the aisle so people don't trip and fall legally. Yeah, pray about that too. They're all up here. You can't see them. They're all up here laid across, and we're trying not to trip over them when we walk up here. Okay, enough on that. We have Gary Dooms in the house. He's a great horn player. Are you... Full of humility. Okay. And what song will you play for us today? Eye on the Sparrow. Thank you. Good job, Gare. Well, we got Bernie in the house. Bernie's been helping us sew stuff around here. She's been so helpful.
Yeah. There's no more holes in the curtain.
Yeah. I won't get my arm caught in there.
Yes.
Tear my arm.
He kept getting his arm caught in there.
Yeah, it's no good.
No.
It's not good. What are you going to sing for us?
I Believe.
I love that song.
It's
Bernie from the Hard Luck Diner. Give her a hand again.
When I see the sun shining in the morning, when I feel the wind blow across my face, when I hear the sound of children laughing, I know it's all part of God's amazing grace. And I believe there's a place called heaven. And I believe in a place called Calvary. that he gave his life for me. Well, I was there the day my mama went to heaven. I held her hand as she closed her eyes to sleep. I heard the sound of 10,000 angels take her soul to be crowned at Jesus' feet. And I believe there's a place called heaven. And I believe in a place called Calvary. And I believe that he gave his life for me. And I believe that he gave his life.
Like that? We got fours here. The other half of the Flying Herzog Brothers. By the way, we got Justin back in this theater. He's going to be performing in the Conway Twitty Show with Forrest and Mike Walker. So we got him back. So we love Justin. It's good to have him and Forrest both. But you're here solo today. That's okay. All right. And what are you going to be singing for us?
It's called Help Is On The Way.
Help Is On The Way. For us.
Woman in the Bible days, her last meal home. God sent Elijah to make his word known. He said, woman, don't you worry, for God sent me today. And before you even asked him, help was on the way. Just hold. If you give up today, just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. Troubles of this life combine and burdens get you down. You think no one is listening. Just remember what his word says. if you give her today. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on.
Mom, great prepared. That was a great worship today. It's been a rough week, hasn't it? Everyone watching the news? In our personal lives, maybe a rough week, but in America, it's been a rough week. Bad stuff happened this week. A young person came into a school Don't know how he got in. Got in with an assault rifle. Began to shoot up the school. The outcome, 17 beautiful young lives. Gone. Forever. You know, they showed the pictures of these young people. They were so full of life. So beautiful. Every one of them. And there was something that crept up in the back of my mind for just a second. Where was God? You know, some of those people had to be Christians. The one coach that gave his life for the kids. He was a hero. Pushing kids out of the way, putting his body in harm's way, taking bullets to save a few. I know this, that man's with the Lord right now. But as we watch the faces of these individuals come up on the screen, it became so apparent to me, as an American, that we're in trouble. Now, of course, soon after the finger pointing started, you saw that, right? And I can understand the parents being upset and calling out their government, calling out this and that. I can understand that to a certain degree. I tried to figure it out myself. I tried to figure out, this kid was 19 years old. Why was he so angry? They talked about his background. I was adopted, came up in a hard situation. But I've known people that come up in hard situations and make beautiful contributions to their community. What was the difference with this young man? I went back to the beginning in the Bible. Right after the fall of man. And the Bible says this, and Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. It's been around from the beginning. People get angry. So the problem is we try to correct it and try to do things. And I believe that we can do some things. But the problem is from the beginning. It's a sin problem, see. As soon as sin entered the world, we were under the curse of sin. Death entered the world. And one of the first major events, right after the curse of sin entering the world, we see Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. Anger, it's a sin. Murder, we know, is a sin. Hurting one another, it's a sin. Some people, I was reading the blog, some people say, well, we've got to get God back in the schools. I believe that. We need to have more Christian-themed activities where we give them a standard that is the Word of God, that's God's Word. And they can learn about it. They may not learn about it at home. They may not even learn about it at the churches. Churches today are so full of programs and methods and this and that, instead of really getting into the Word of God and teaching character into young people. So this last week, the same thing. I'm looking online, reading my news. I read my news online, too. The doctors are up in arms about cannabis. Some of you may have read it. They're saying we were wrong. Recreational dope smoking. We thought it was going to help. It's not. It's destroying the lives of who? The young people, the teenagers. They said we thought it was just going to smooth it all out. Crime is still on the rise. People are still dying. California, Colorado, those two states are having issues. The ERs are being flooded by young people having psychotic episodes. They're having panic attacks and attributing it to a heart attack rather than what they're ingesting or using as a substance. And there's a strange new disease that's coming into people that like to smoke the marijuana and the drugs, the dope. And they don't even know really what to call this disease. The sensitivity to the body is going away. They can't get warm. They can't get cool. And the only relief they can get in their bodies is to sit in bathtubs. And one person couldn't feel it, and so they burned their body. This is all the news this week. This is current right now. Because we as a nation have embraced the drug generation. I tell you what, if you would have that young person that shot those people fill a cup, we'd see what's going on with him. His mind wasn't right. So he blamed it on mental illness. What about how we help the mental illness by putting substance in our body that's destructive and destroying us? You say, well, you're on a bandwagon today. It's really hard for me to get into my sermon today because I have a heavy heart. I've always worked with the young people. I was a youth pastor for 20-something years, I think. They thought I was going to be a perpetual youth pastor. I started when I was 18, 19, when I was in Bible college. When Denise and I married, I was 35, 36, and I was still youth pastor. I preached every Sunday. I filled in the pulpit and preached every Sunday. And then we went on the road for 17 years, and our primary target was young people. Because they're the next generation of Americans that are going to make a difference in this world. But if we as America have embraced Satanism, sorcery, and pharmaceuticals, I think we've turned ourselves over to the devil. We wonder why people break into schools, shooting up, why there's so much anger, why there's so many psychotic episodes. We voted it in. And are in the process of voting it in. And so many other states. Missouri hasn't voted it in yet. There's still a pocket of Christian people that believe that that's not the way for our young people. They have to be a certain age in order to get a hold of it, really? Just like they don't get a hold of alcohol, right? Well, they had to be 21? Oh, come on. How about all the accidents? So look at the age of these young people. People are dying out there. And the church is sitting on their hands, doing nothing about it. Today, the pulpits, they might say, well, let's pray about them. And then they're talking about health and wealth. Get rich quick schemes. All you got to do is just give your tithe and you're going to get back all this money. The pyramid scam. Instead of trying to address the problem. I tell you, it's a heart problem. It's a sin problem. I've been teaching this and preaching this. It started day one. Once sin entered the world, the man was on a collision course with pain, chaos, and destruction and murder. We're in Revelation chapter 15. Maybe we can make some sense out of this. I know this. We talk about the tribulation. We talk about judgment. We talk about the wrath of God hitting the world. I know those kids were so afraid when the gun was being fired. Somebody said, hey, are that firecrackers? Is that any firecracker going off? They asked the security, what is that noise? It's gunfire. Chapter 15, we got to come back a little bit. We're going to move through this whole thing, 8 verses. Can you believe that today? God is getting ready to pour out the 7 vials, the 7 bowls of His wrath on the world. We just went through the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and now we're at the end of the wave or the set of judgments. There's 3 complete judgments, 7 each time. One wave gets worse than the other. The 7 bowl judgments. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now you say, why is God so angry in this book of the Revelation? Well, sometimes we saw Him get angry in the Old Testament. The Bible says that our God is a jealous God. He created us. He loves us as children. But when we leave Him and worship other gods, He becomes jealous. When we leave the fold and go out into the world and live according to the precepts of Satan rather than His precepts, He's angry. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. Verse 2, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. Judgment is coming. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over His image and over His mark, they did not take or worship Him or take His mark. They had the victory over the beast, even though these are the saints that died in their faith. These are the saints that went out. Victory over the beast, over His image, and over His mark. They did not take the mark of the beast, and over the number of His name, 666. They were standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. The saints that have died in their faith and belief, absent from the body, present with the Lord, they go home to be with the Lord. Now, in this case, these happen to be a specific group of saints. These are those that have died during the tribulation time, and they're with the Lord. They really are with Him. These saints have harps in their hand. They know how to play the harp. They get the ability to play the harp and to sing. How many of you can play a harp or sing? Not too many. Well, these particular saints, they're playing on the harps. Music and worshiping God. And I'm sure it's beautiful and beautiful and beautiful. All of the above. It's music that's praising God. They're playing on the harps and they're singing. They sang, verse 3, the song of Moses, the servant of God. We read that one already. And the song of the Lamb. Moses, the song of Moses after he was delivered from Pharaoh's army. We've read that, the whole thing. And then it says, and they were singing this new song, the song of the Lamb, the song that was committed to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Back in Revelation 5, here's what it was. And I saw on the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, a book written within, on the backside sealed with 7 seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? This was back when the seal judgments hadn't even come yet. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. You remember I preached this. Quit your sniveling. Stop it. There's no crying in heaven. And said, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals there. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. The lamb stands up. Jesus Christ. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, the number of God, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now here's where it gets into this new song. So in heaven here, chapter 15, they're in the throne room, and they're singing unto God. They go back to the song of Moses and how God protected them from the armies of Pharaoh in the Red Sea. And now they're going into this new song. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song. There it is. Saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people of nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. We're looking in the millions here. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and power. Be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13, And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in them, and all of them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. A new song was being sung in heaven to the Lamb, to Jesus Christ, thanking him for the blood that he shed and that redemption had happened. Really, we all should be singing that song. They say only one thing you can be sure of in this life, and that's death and taxes. You're going to die. You're going to pay taxes. It's tax time, people. It's coming up here real soon. You got to pay it. Or guess what? They come a knocking. The IRS. Death and taxes. But for the Christian, there's more. Amen? One thing we can be assured of, and it's what they were singing about. We got heaven with Jesus Christ because of the blood that Jesus shed for our sins. This last week, we saw sorrow in people. I saw anguish. I saw men and women crying. I saw police officers, I saw FBI agents, I saw people weeping for the loss of these beautiful young people. Every day we lose young people to drugs, to carelessness, to alcohol. We try to put labels on it, diseases, addictions, and this, and we try to tame it down just a bit. We try to tame it down that what is going on with these young people and folks is not really their fault. But the truth is we all have a choice. Amen? These saints had a choice, and they chose Jesus Christ, and they chose death over life so that they could be with Jesus Christ. It was a hard choice during the tribulation. It will be a hard choice. It's hard life. It's the same choice that we have today, though. We can choose Jesus, or we can choose the world. And then, if we choose Jesus, guess what? If we do die, if someone comes into our church and shoots us up, if something weird happens from some person that's out of their mind, we go home to be with the Lord. See, we look at it from a human standpoint. only from this moment instead of eternity. And the truth is, we do live on forever and ever. If we choose Jesus Christ, death is just the next step. We go through the door into the next life, into eternity. I told you about when I was a kid, my mom would say, "What's the worst thing that happened to you, Dave?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to die." She goes, "But you're a Christian, right?" "Yeah." She had me thinking about that. "Where will you go as a Christian?" "I'll go home to be with the Lord in heaven." She goes, "Is that really the worst thing that could happen?" I go, "No, it's not. It's probably the best." What's the worst thing that could happen? We die in our sins and we go out without the Lord. That's the worst thing that could happen. Someday we're going to look back on this, these episodes that happened, 9/11, these schools and the innocent loss of life. And we're going to say, "Why was I so shook up about it?" Because we're going to be in eternity with the Lord and with the saints and the souls and the glorified existence that we have in Jesus Christ. And we're going to say, "Why were we so worried about it?" The only thing we should be worried about right now is where we are with Jesus. Personally. Is my life right? Am I where I should be with the Lord? Am I doing the right thing? Do I love my brother, my sister? Do I love them? Or do I hate them? In my heart, do I have malice towards my brother, my sister, another human being? Do I have anger? Do I have bitterness toward them? Am I a Christian? Do I have the love of Christ in my heart? Because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They were singing the new song, folks. They were beyond all the pain, the suffering, the struggle of this life. And they were laying it out. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain and shed His precious blood for my sins, and all my sins are dealt with and taken care of." They sang a new song unto the Lord. Verse 3. They sang the song back in chapter 15 of Revelation. They sing, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, back in the Old Testament. We've already read that. And the song of the Lamb, chapter 5, Revelation. We just read that. And the song of the Lamb saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Great and marvelous are thy works. A spoken word, He can create the universe. He can bundle up some dirt and breathe into His nostrils, become a living soul. Only God can do that. There is a creator. There's a natural order. There is a universal designer that designed everything. Science can't explain why there's such a code in everything. And everything seems to have such a designated originator. They can't explain why. I know why. Because God is the originator. God is the creator. God is the designer of the universe. And God designed us, and He designed us to want to be with Him. And that's why when man sinned, through his choice, his free will, he chose to sin. That the Lamb was in the picture even before the foundation of the earth. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, who would take away the sin of the world, as Isaiah said. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, John the Baptist. The Lamb that took every sin in His body, every sin that you would conceive, think about, commit, He takes it in His body. The drugs, the alcohol, the abuse, the anger, the bitterness, the strife, the confusion, the anxiety, the immorality. He takes it. Took it into His body. And Jesus Christ became the sin bearer. Verse 4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Even if they won't worship him, who is there on the planet that would not fear him? Come on. Our God's an awesome God, but he's also an awful God. I said this. Fear of God. It keeps us in check. Amen. The fear of rebuttal, of something that would come back against us, that fear keeps us in check a lot of times. If I hurt somebody, I will be hurt. If I kill somebody, I will lose my life. If I destroy property, I'll have my property taken away. I'll be incarcerated. If I do something I shouldn't do, if I do drugs or alcohol, I may lose all my privileges in this community. If I commit adultery and break up a marriage, if I destroy people's lives with me and my choices, I will pay for it for eternity. That fear of knowing the truth of God brings us in check a little bit. But if we don't believe in God, we'll do whatever. If we don't believe in Christ, we'll live our lives as if there is no God and there is no Jesus. Amen. If we don't believe in God's Word, the Bible, the standard, the one and only standard that was given to us throughout the ages, if we don't have a standard, we'll do whatever feels right. We'll go shoot people. We'll hurt people. We'll hit them. We don't care. We'll destroy marriages, lives. If we don't have God's Word, we'll do whatever we want to do because there is no standard. The Bible says at one point that every man did what was right in his own eyes, and then God destroyed the world. Everyone was doing whatever they thought they should be doing, and God destroyed the earth. The same thing will happen during the tribulation. Men will live and behave and do whatever they think is right in their own eyes because they don't have this standard, God's Word. They don't have it. You know, sometimes I wonder why people come to church. Think about it for a second. Why are you sitting here today? Seem like the right thing to do? You might come and hear Tamron, Forrest, and Gary, some of the best entertainers in this town, Bernie, singing. Why did you come here today? Well, I want to be blessed by God. Okay, I can go with that. A little bit selfish, but it's okay. Why'd you come here? Some of you say, I wanted to hear this right here. Because you believe this. Amen? But some of you say, I don't know why. I came because I kind of felt like it. I didn't have anything else better to do. The stuff on TV, the Olympics, is boring this morning, so I came. You have to ask yourself the question, why are you here? And go beyond that. Why are you even here on this planet at this time? So you can live for yourself and do whatever you feels right and just have no direction, no standard? Or are you here with God's purpose? Because if you're a Christian and you've accepted Christ, all of a sudden everything has changed. You're no longer on a collision course with destruction. You're no longer a pawn in Satan's game. You belong to Jesus Christ. He's your shepherd. He's your master. And you stay near the master like the sheep do. But if you go out in the world and do whatever you want to do, you're destroyed. Your life is over. Why are you here today? I hope you're here because you want to hear the Word of God and you want to make changes in your life. Because if you're not, it's all a game. You can come to sit in church and look at me and you can be a million miles away. Amen? Only God knows what's going on in your heart. You can feel a seat and sit there and not even be here. But if your spirit is here, in an agreement with the Word of God, and God is talking to you, then there's a connection. Something is going on. We can make a difference in this world. We really can, as Christians that love the Lord. Who shall fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Verse 4. For thou only art holy. Only God is holy. Even the saints, hagios, which means separated, consecrated, we're not always holy. The Bible says that we do sin still. We do. But we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. The blood has cleansed our sins, but we still do sin. Don't think you're perfect. That's why we need Jesus. And there it said right there. For thou only art holy, truly holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. All nations will come together in the end. In the end. After Satan has been destroyed, all nations will come together and they will worship the one true God. Verse 5, and after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. The temple of God was open in heaven. John says, I looked and it was opened up. Says the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony. There was a tabernacle on this earth before Solomon's temple was built. Moses was given the specs on that, and he and the craftsmen built this beautiful tabernacle to God where they worshiped and sacrificed. And the main course of what was going on at the tabernacle was the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. Once a year, the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. And he would plead for the nation, covered from head to foot in blood. And he would go through the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And only the high priest, and only once a year, could he go into that position before the Ark of the covenant, which is called the Ark of the Testimony, which it says right here, the tabernacle of the testimony, the law of God. So in heaven, there's a temple, and there's a testimony of God. You say, is it a literal testimony of God? Well, it says it there. I believe God has it inscribed and written out. His laws are pure and holy and righteous, and only He is righteous, and only He is holy. But He's got His law there. And here, for the saints, this tabernacle, the temple, was opened up so that people could look in and see the testimony. The ark, as it were. Some people say that the temple in heaven was replicated here on this earth in the tabernacle and the temple that Solomon built. I believe that's probably accurate, a good depiction of the way it is. God replicated it so that we could see a replication, a duplicate of what's going on in heaven, what is in heaven. When Jesus Christ died, the blood covered the sin. And man had a direct access into the holiest place in the world, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the temple's veil was rent apart so that people had a direct access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, it's all about the blood of Jesus. It's all about us choosing Christ into our lives to be our personal Lord and Savior and making a change and allowing Him and the Holy Spirit to come in and possess us and to change us into new creatures. And after that, I look, verse 5, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple. Here comes the angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. Things are about to heat up here. The seven angels, the angels of the Lord, they're coming out with seven plagues, the seven bowls, the seven vials. These are seven judgments to take place. And the word plague in the Greek means a wound. The judgment of God is going to be poured out on the earth. Those that have taken the mark of the beast, those that don't believe in Jesus Christ, those that worship Satan, those that are living perpetually, habitually in sin, those that have chosen the wrong path. The vials will be poured out upon them. The judgment is coming. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen. They're the angels that serve the Lord. These are not the demonic angels we've talked about. These are God's angels. They're clothed in white, and they're pure, and they're holy. And they're having their breasts girded with golden girdles. They belong to the king. And they're arrayed and dressed in the fine linen of the King of Kings. They belong to the Lord. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. So these four beasts that are in the throne room of God, and we discuss them at length because they were there in chapter 5 and following. Unique beasts that protect and guard the throne room. They give seven vials, bowls, seven judgments to seven angels. Those seven angels. They're given seven golden vials or bowls full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. Now this is the saddest. This chapter of this verse 8 stopped me in my tracks. Because this is a key, I think. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. Now get this. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. The temple is shut up. No one has access to God at this point. I studied everybody on this. Studied all the commentators, all the brilliant minds, all the Greek scholars. What did it mean when it said that the temple of God was shut up? That no man could enter. It broke my heart. Because I always want to have access to the Lord. Amen. But now this is during the tribulation, toward the end of the tribulation, the last set or wave of judgments. And at that point, something changes. Up until this point, there's people that are dying in the faith and they're going to heaven. The saints are around the throne. They have access to the throne room. They're right there in the temple of God. They can be close to God. But now, when these seven judgments are starting to be poured out upon the planet, God shuts everyone out. Now, it happened in the Old Testament on the day the tabernacle was dedicated to the Lord. Do you remember that back in Exodus? I believe it was. They dedicated the tabernacle. And what happened? Smoke filled the entire area. The smoke was so thick that everyone had to leave the area. Even Moses, who was the closest to God, had to leave. He could not exercise the ability to stand there for the sacrificial system that was going on. They couldn't. They had to get out of there. The glory of God filled the tabernacle. And people had to get away. The same thing happened the day that Solomon's temple was dedicated to the Lord. Smoke filled the temple in such away that the high priest and everyone had to get away, get out of the temple area. And now we see here in the book of the Revelation, toward the end of the tribulation, the smoke fills the area, God's presence, and no man can come into the presence of God. Like I said, I studied everybody. Smoke has always been in the Old Testament and here in the book of the Revelation a sign of the presence of God. You know, during the daytime, the pillar of cloud was over, kind of smoky, over the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle. Anywhere you were in the camp of Israel, you could look and you'd see the pillar and you knew where you knew where you were. You didn't need a street sign. You knew exactly where you were from where the pillar was, the cloud, the smoke of God. And at nighttime, it turned into a pillar of fire. God's presence was there over the tabernacle, day and night, 24/7. Smoke always represents the presence of God. On the day that God was delivering the commandments to Moses, there was fire, there was smoke surrounding Mount Sinai. Remember that? And the people were so afraid, and so they sent Moses up. Moses goes up into the smoke. The presence of God was there. And now here, the smoke comes and no man can enter into the temple. It tells me at that point in history, at this point, that it's going to be shut down. God's plan of salvation is virtually done. You say nobody can be saved? I believe so. There will be a time where no man can come to God. It's over. I believe that most of the people that believe in Jesus Christ will have already been saved at this point. There'll be a remnant left on this earth. I believe the planet, they may survive. They may be survivalists and may get through that 7-year period. But most of the people that love Jesus Christ are vocal about it, and they're going to be in heaven. They're going to give up their lives. So salvation, at this point, as we know it, people coming to Christ, opening up their hearts to the Lord, it's over, it's over, it's done. Grace, the period of grace is over. What do we have now? In the book of the Revelation here, at this point, the time of Jacob's woe, the great tribulation with these final 7 vials, the great tribulation prophesied in the Bible. It's happening. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Now he has a job to do. And that job is to pour his wrath out upon all those that took the mark of the beast, that worship Satan and live for Satan, and live for themselves. The vials are coming. Nobody can come to Jesus anymore. That's over. It's done. They sang the song, "Worthy is the Lamb." It's over. It's done. Complete. Salvation is complete. Everyone that would have accepted Christ up until this point in the history, it's shut down. Now, there were a lot of ideas. Like I said, I studied all of the guys. Some of them thought it was just the overwhelming presence of God shooing people out like the smoke. No, I think there's a lot more going on here. Some of them did think that God was going to shut down for a short time, the temple, and he had to take care of his business on this planet, pouring out his wrath and taking care of the people that refused and accepted Satan in their lives rather than God. He's going to judge them for turning their backs upon him That's the time right there at that point. Some of them thought that. And then I found some that believe like I do. Salvation, as we know it, will stop. Now, some of you may ask, well, what happens then in a millennial reign if there's still a remnant of people left? And there will be. Well, they're going to see God, and they're going to see what else is out there. And they can choose to come into the kingdom, see, at that point. There will be people that would choose that. But salvation through the blood of the Lamb, it's going to stop here. The temple's closed down. God's never done that. We've always had access to Him through Jesus Christ. But Jesus takes on a whole new persona now too. From here on, the Lamb is the warrior. He came first as a suffering servant. He will come as a conquering king. He's coming to take care of business. Armageddon. And He's leading the charge with all the saints behind Him. He's going to destroy the work of Satan. He's going to destroy the works of the world, the flesh. He's going to destroy the works that have been so aberrant and so violently opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He will destroy them. And He will set up the peaceful kingdom. The millennial reign will come into effect for 1,000 years. And we, His saints, will reign with Him for 1,000 years on this planet. It's sad, though. That really hit me hard, that verse 8. The smoke pushed him out, and no man could come into the temple. I thought, there's nobody can come. Nobody can come to Jesus anymore. Think about that. Right now, we have access to Him through the Lamb. We can go into the temple, into the throne room. We can be right there with the Lord through our advocate, Jesus Christ, and through His blood. That's what the saints were singing about. But then at the end of this, the smoke comes, and even the saints in heaven are not allowed to enter that temple. They're already taken care of. They're with the Lord. No man can come into the temple. Salvation, as we know it, will come to an end. That's why right now is the time to make sure you know Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. There is no tomorrow. If something should happen to us, an accident, God forbid a shooting, if something should happen to us, we go into the presence of the Lord because we've accepted Him and open up our hearts to Him. God loves us, wants us to be with Him. That's why Jesus Christ shed His precious blood for our sins. We need to open up our hearts to the Lord. We need to make sure we know Him. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, there's going to be a lot of sad things that come into our lives. There's going to be a lot of heartache. We're going to go through a lot of struggles. There's going to be people that we love, family members, that turn their backs on the Lord. It's going to hurt. It's going to crush. It's going to be painful. It's going to be hard to watch them. But the truth is, God says you have a choice. Make sure you know the Lord. Make sure you've accepted Christ. Make sure your heart is right with Him, no matter what. Make sure that you're a Christian and you're walking the way Christ would want you to walk. You can look at your friends and your family and be all sad, but make sure you are taken care of, because you cannot save your family. You cannot save your friends. You can't crawl in there and make the choices for them. They have to make the choice on their own. And everyone is independent. and by themselves when it comes to that choice. Just like in the last day, at the great white throne judgment, those that have refused Jesus Christ, those that have chosen another way, will stand at the great white throne. You know, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, this last week I heard some things that I didn't really know. I mean, I'd heard some rumblings. There's a lot of Christian people that I kind of looked up to in the past, even worked with them in the past. People that you would know if I mentioned names even. And I'm not going to do that, because they're no longer with us. I heard that they live their lives in total hypocrisy. The only reason that they even tried to use religion and Christ was for money and sordid gain for themselves. Heard that one of these leaders was a person that chose an alternate lifestyle at the end of his days, but nobody knew about it. But God knows, and Satan sure knows. Another person, heavy cocaine user, finally ended up taking their lives using it. I heard about that and I thought, there it is, the great white throne. They will stand out there before God and Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, we did miracles in your name. We preached in your name. We cast out devils and demons in your name. And he will look at them and say, depart from me, workers of iniquity. There it is. Workers of you habitually practiced and behaved sinfully. Depart from me. That's who you are if that's what you're doing. If you're a worker of iniquity, you will be at the great white throne judgment. That doesn't mean you don't sin and slip up, but you get right back into the fold again. You that live habitually, depart from me. These great people that hundreds of thousands of people around the world looked up to. Phony baloney. They're not going to make it. So if you're sitting here today and there's a question in your mind or heart, you better get it right with God now. You better come back real quick, and stay there. And don't continue to walk as a lawless person does. Do not be a worker of iniquity, sinful practices, evil practices. Because if you do, I'll tell you straight up, you're not saved. You cannot do what the world does or worse than the world and think you're going to end up in heaven. You have to try to live the life of Christ. You have to give it a shot. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you and change and transform you. Like the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not live like this world, but be transformed. Change. By the renewing of your mind, you have to have your mind renewed through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the blood of the Lamb. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I'm not going to have anyone raise their hand or do anything like that. We do that almost every week. Raising of a hand is so easy. Sometimes it's even futile. It gives a false impression, maybe to yourself and maybe to others. We need to have our hearts changed. If you're sitting here right now and your heart isn't right with the Lord, whatever, there's anger, there's bitterness, if there's total anxiety, you're not trusting in God, if there's immorality, if there's sorcery, drugs, alcohol,
if there are things that you are harboring in your heart, you know it. God knows it. Satan knows it because he's got you. And there are other people out there that know it too. You have to lay all that on the altar and confess and get your heart right with God. Take that moment right now. Lord, I pray for each and every person that we will humbly come before you, confess, and get our hearts right. Lord, I pray for America. We were a country so committed to you and wanting to serve you. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to come back and forgive us where we fail. I pray for all those families in Florida that are suffering right now, that are hurting, and other families that have been in other shootings even this year. I pray, oh God, that somehow you will comfort them in their sorrow, supernaturally surround them. Let them know that this life is not the only life, that there is eternal life, and that life does go on. But I pray that you will comfort their hearts. And I do pray for some protection, Lord, any protection, over our young people, our schools, that you somehow, Lord, will supernaturally intervene. And help us, Lord. I thank you that we can pray and that we can come to the temple and your door is open 24/7. We're not in that place yet where no man can come. I pray that you'll help us to stay close to you and walk in the newness of life each and every day. Bless each and every person that is here. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to thank you all for coming out today, for being here. How many, do we have any visitors here for the first time today? Maybe visitors in our, there's one, okay. Well, if you're, you can go online, gospelsunday.com, and all of our lessons are archived, and you can check that out and kind of stay with us if you're not able to be here each and every week. But we thank you for coming out and being part of this. We're going to have communion in a moment, normally, like we do. Celebrate the Lord's table. Just takes a moment. You can come and sit over here and we'll all partake together. Just takes a moment after we dismiss in prayer. We also have a bucket on the way out. If you're able to help with the ministry, we say thanks. As you can see, we're putting in new carpet. And some of you have committed and helped us, and we thank you. It's going to be rectified. It will be one way or another. I'm not saying heads are going to roll, but they might. We will make sure this carpet is laid correctly and everything is done in a great manner. Let's all stand together. We want to remember some of these in prayer. I want to thank our worship team. Did a great job. Forrest and Gary and Bernie and Tamara. Tamara had to run out and man the guns where she was working today because her husband is gone. But she did such a wonderful job. It was a great worship today. Want to remember Len. Once again, he's in 408. I don't know if you can stop by for a minute just to say hi, just for a minute. Don't stay too long because he's trying to get it together. But he's over at Cox in 408. Bill and Wanda, we want to lift them up to the Lord. Want to remember Ray Northern, that God will continue to bless him and give him strength. Teddy and his wife, Wanda's cousin. Just keep praying for him, that God will just touch him and bring things around. We want to remember Jim Wendt's son, Justin, that is struggling but is coming back. And that's a praise. We didn't know they had him on life support. Now they put a trach in him, and he's cognizant and coming around. They have another doctor that jumped into this. Thank God that there were some faith-believing people and that they believe that God still has his hand on this young man, 32 years old. So let's pray for Jim. And his hands are full right now, but that Justin will come around. And we went up and prayed with him this last week, and we prayed over him, and so we're going to do it again. So let's just keep remembering Justin to the Lord. Remember, Brother Leon, he's not able to come with it, putting this new carpet, even though we don't have it done. It's here, and he's affected by it with his COPD. Let's just lift him up. Lewis and Carol Carroll, that God will bless them and strengthen them. Lou Liz and Kim Kelly out in Scottsdale, Arizona, that God will bless them. And we want to just lift up Richard and Bonnie. I stopped and saw Bonnie this week, and she's hanging in there. If you can stop by and see her or give her a call, do that, folks. The Bible says it's true religion that we visit the widows and the orphans or those who are struggling. Amen? So let's try to do that. If you can go by and see Bonnie. Richard is in the care unit there with where Lynn will be again. They're going to put him back in there. We want to lift up Phyllis to the Lord. She's here today. You're hanging in there, aren't you, Phyllis? So we're just going to pray to God. So they still don't know really 100% for sure what tomorrow. And she's going to call us directly and let us know. They did a biopsy on her lung. Let's just lift her up to the Lord. Fern Johnson, who fell, she's now healing at home. Let's lift her up. Donna Quested, I put a call in this week. I didn't hear back, but let's just continue to pray for Donna that God will give her strength and help her. Let's give all these to the Lord, and then we'll dismiss in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you're the God that hears us and that we can go into your temple. It's open 24/7, and we thank you for that capability through the blood of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that we will do that and take advantage while the time is here. And time is of essence, Lord. Time is running out. You're right at the door. And I pray, Lord, that many of us will come back to you that have been away and that we will restore and renew our fellowship with you, and that you will restore the love in our lives and help us, Lord. Help us. And I pray for all these requests that you'll touch these people and raise them up. We also pray for Brother Lynn as he's going in surgery possibly in the next week or two, that you will open that up too, Lord, that they can fix that hip and his leg. And Lord, I just pray once again, for those families that are struggling today, that your Holy Spirit will surround them and help them and encourage them. So bless us all on our way and encourage us for having been in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Good morning. God bless each and every one.